Hi, I am a 17-year-old with a story. I want to quit feeling like I am not important. I want to be somebody in my life. I do not want to be remembered as some face in the yearbook. I want to be heard. Currently, I make YouTube videos, and I have 317 subscribers. I know it is not a big number, but I am finally being heard by some people, and I love it. I just want to make people happy in any shape or form. Putting a smile on people's faces is my dream. If I could be casted on this show, my life would be complete. I just want people to know me more than just some girl who likes makeup. I want people to know who I am. My family is not against this, but they do think I should focus on school, which I agree with, but this is my dream. Height, 5 feel 5 inches. Age, 17. Gender, female. Dream, this. Please help me reach for the stars. This is my dream, and if it comes true, I can't even imagine my life. Help me out. Help me be heard. From castingcallhub.com. I have for a long time suggested that we get rid of cable. I have even suggested that we throw out our TV altogether so that we may eat at our actual kitchen table and play more Scrabble. I'd say these suggestions come biannually on average. They used to be more frequent, then ebbed, and are now increasing again. They have been going on for the better part of a decade. They arise, as most of my impulses toward change do, out of feelings of shame. They arise when we open up our home and visitors see the way we live, by which I mean what we watch and the frequency with which we watch it, and make remarks that I take to be scornful. I cannot believe you guys have all the channels. Or, how can someone retain so much information about Bravo? Or, how do you do it? If I had cable, I think I would forget how to live. It's just too easy to let your mind get lost in the slush and forget to look up. The relationship between television and life is loaded. The relationship between television and love is, perhaps, even more so. Life, the way I think the term is most commonly used, is about action. Go out and live is the kind of thing people say to those they deem flawed. Ride something, climb something, engage. Or it can be used as an insult to those who have nothing valuable to offer. Get a life. Love, the way I think the term is most commonly used, necessitates the same action. Loving passively is as shameful as living that way. When we love fully, we are doing something to make that love valid. It's a conscious process. It's active. Two people see each other in a way that elevates the act of sight to a challenge that must be confronted. Two people refuse to take their eyes off one another. That's the idea. When we love fully, we are meant to engage. For a long time, when you would refuse to give up television, I would pretend to be grudgingly acquiescent, as opposed to relieved. You would placate me and say that our watching was your fault, that I was merely implicated by association, the same way it is when I buy ice cream and offer you some. Those aren't your calories if you didn't seek them out. We would, as a way to avoid any long-term legislation, briefly turn off the TV and spend the following hours in a sort of mutual meditation, leaning over the table at dinner, sometimes by candlelight, taking in the contours of the face in front of us as though it had changed from the previous day and the one before that, and the countless expanse of days that stretched out behind us nearly every day of our adult lives, making us forget what it felt like to not know that face. The literature of love, both the bad kind and the good, hinges on this type of sustained gaze. And though the word boredom rarely comes up, it seems crucial that lovers put themselves in scenarios that would otherwise be boring and then very pointedly feel not bored. I'm thinking of Keats here, in one of those gorgeous poems to Fanny that I once read aloud to you in college, the last time neither of us owned a TV. I read to you of Keats wishing only to be gazing on the new soft-fallen mask of snow upon the mountains and the moors, no, yet still steadfast, still unchangeable, pillowed upon my fair love's ripening breast.